Good evening. Didn't a young man do a good job leading us in our singing? I tell you, it's great to come into a congregation that's appointing new elders and to see the Spirit. You know, I was sitting over here just noticing the camaraderie of brethren having a great spirit of talking and jesting with one another. And brethren, that's the way Christianity should be lived out. And it's good to come to sunset. How fun memories of you because of the stories and because of Joe. Understand Joe's been down and held a meeting for the brethren there in Florida. And I know he did a good job. He's doing a good work with you here. And the proof is in your attendance this evening. We thank you for supporting the work of 21st Century Global Missions. I just recently, back in February and March, traveled to Cameroon for the first time. We began a school there the first Saturday in January of this year. And I'll have more to say about that. I leave, Lord willing, Thursday, going to Memphis, fly out early Friday morning, 6 o'clock. It's early. That's an early flight. To Atlanta, two of the elders from the Martin, Tennessee church will meet and will rendezvous in Atlanta and travel to Costa Rica. This will be my second trip with those brethren, and we're looking and we believe we have found the man to direct a school, so we're trying to establish a school there in Cameroon. Time wouldn't permit me to, most of you would walk out if I started talking about each one of our co-workers in 16 schools that we have in 9 countries. But here are the people who keep the home fire burning, so to speak. Sister Phyllis Bush is our full-time secretary. If you call, she usually comes in around 8 to 8:15. If you'll call, you'll talk to her until about 2:30. We let her leave at 2:30. And the Lord knew we needed this lady. She's our bookkeeper. She wears a lot of hats. Miss Linda, she makes my appointment. She's the reason I'm here this evening. And she is with me. I'm thankful for her being with me this trip. Usually she packs my bags and sends me out alone. I'm never alone, but by myself in that sense. And, you know, the Lord said, I'll never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee, that we may be bold to say, God is my helper. Aren't we thankful to be a Christian? But she's with me this time, and I'm very thankful. Behind me is Brother Steve Shapley. Steve preaches for the Beans Ferry congregation and works part-time with us through the week, usually about 3 days through the week. And the brochure that we passed out, the young men, I want to thank them. And he does a lot of writing for us and does a good job of putting, that's his main responsibility of putting our newsletter together. And tonight, we want to take you first to the Cameroon country, and then I want to go to the 2014 graduations and let you see what you're a part of through the work of Global Missions. Here's our mission statement. Everything has an existence purpose. We exist for the purpose of recruiting, educating, and encouraging communicators of the gospel, and we stress in their language, culture, and country. I assure you, going to Cameroon, you're going to a different culture. I'm thankful to say their main language is English, so we can communicate without a translator. All schools established by Global Missions uses the same curriculum. We have a good curriculum. It covers all the books of the Bible. And in that curriculum, in the 2-year and 4-year diploma, we have English, 2 English classes, 2 computer classes, and an economics class. Those are secular classes. Why would we have those classes in the curriculum? Because we do not pay our students to come to school. Brethren, if you pay a man to come to school and sit in classes, we could fill this building by just paying a little small amount of money in many of the countries we're in. But you'd never know why they're coming. We give them a full scholarship. We can do that because of churches and individual brethren supporting the work of 21st century global missions. And let me thank God and glorify Him by saying, I had Miss Phyllis right after Memorial Day to check up to see where we were on her physical year-end budget, and we had balanced her budget by the 1st of June. Now, brethren, I give God the glory for that. He's responsible for that, not J.C. Inlow. But we are thankful and gracious, and you helped us in doing that. And we're going to a different culture tonight, I assure you, and these two English classes, two computer classes, and an economics class is to help that preacher in his culture be a better provider for his family. In two schools, and you'll see one in Cameroon, we had to change the two computer classes. There's no need of training young men in computer field if they'll never see a computer and would have to have their own generator to generate the power for that computer. So in the country of Liberia, Gorbli, Liberia, we're out in the bush. We did not give them those computer classes. We gave them two agricultural classes, and the same in Cameroon. Here's where we're located. If that top line going to the right is Minsk, Belarusia, which was our second school. The next line, the middle line going to the right, is Dnipropetrovsk, Ukraine, and that was our first school to locate in the country of Ukraine, and our first school as 21st Century Global Missions established, schools to train preachers and teachers. Then the bottom line is Odessa, Ukraine, down on the Black Sea. Brethren, I'm going to mention three countries tonight and ask you to remember in your daily prayer life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 17, Paul told those at Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean we go around with our head bowed, murmuring something to God all the time. It does mean that He expects us to have a daily prayer life. And whenever I say that, I'm not talking about just praying when we sit down to the table to eat and giving thanks for the food. He wants to hear from J.C. Inlow on a daily basis because of my need and my relationship to Him, like we're talking to our children. That's what God wants from each individual Christian. I'm going to ask you to remember three countries in your daily prayer life. Number one is the Ukraine. I won't ask you because we have to, it'd scare me when everybody answered me, probably. But it's because of the war, and that war is still a lot of friction going on in the country. Let me hasten to say, have you ever thought of the good things that can come from bad things that God allows? God's allowing that war to go on. He's in charge. I assure you that this evening God is on the throne, not Vladimir Putin. He allows him to run that office, and he's expecting him to do good. He may not. The war is not good. But there are some good things that's happening. Our secretary, and you'll see her in just a moment when we get to the graduations, I'll give you a quote from our secretary. She said, J.C., there's been a lot of brethren come from Donetsk. That's where the fierce fighting is taking place over in eastern Ukraine. Said they're coming in, and many of them have come to Dnipropetrovsk. And our brethren have took them in and said we're putting food on their table and a roof over their head. You just think, brethren, of the ties that's being made between brethren and knowing the Ukraine in their backdrop, in their culture. They really needed that. So some good things are coming from a bad situation. Coming down to the left, we say Odessa was the third school because they are 8 hours ahead of San Cristobal, Mexico. Those schools started exactly the same day. And because of the time zone, Odessa was third and San Cristobal was fourth. We have three schools in the state of Chiapas, and you're helping us with those schools. The next line down is Guatemala. We had Guatemalans, I was told, getting up and walking to the border to come to the school in Cacalatan. And because of that, we stepped across the border and started a school in Acaquina, Guatemala. The third land down is Nicaragua, Managua, Nicaragua. We have two schools in that country, one below Nicaragua, Managua, and then one north of Managua with about a 30-mile distance between the two schools. That fourth land coming down is to Lima, Peru, the central church in Tuscaloosa. Congregation about the size of Sunset has totally taken that school under its wing, funding it, and Miss Linda and I, along with one of her granddaughters and her friend from Fulton, will go down and travel with a group of 35, Lord willing, the end of July. They're going for a camp session. I'm going to take an interpreter. It's a Spanish-speaking country. And I'm going to the Amazon in view of starting a school there and finding brethren who will work in training preachers and teachers of the gospel. Coming across that top land now to Africa, there is Cameroon. We just started that school on Saturday, the first Saturday in 2015. The middle line is Sierra Leone. There's the second country I'm going to ask you to remember in your daily prayers. And the third, of course, is Liberia, the one right under it. And you know why we're asking you of that is the Ebola situation. We are thankful to the Lord. We give Him the glory for the good that's being accomplished there and the diminishing of the disease and problem of the Ebola. It is passed through the body fluids, through handshaking and things of that nature. And we'll mention some of those a little later. But remember the Ukraine, Sierra Leone, and Liberia in your daily prayers. Uh-oh, I mashed the wrong button. Now we're coming to Cameroon. We flew into Doula. Do you see Doula there on the Pacific side? The Atlantic side. And then we drove to Bermuda. It's about an 8-hour car drive north to Bermuda. And that's where the school is located. And I just give you some culture pictures. That's a scene of a dwelling there in the mountains, and here's down on the road. I took this one intentionally to bring back because we'd just had a hardware, and they have a lumber supply, and they have built a humongous lumber shed and with a roof over it. And I brought them this picture back because that's how they sell their lumber there in Bermuda. And on our way up, we saw that. You see the little man sitting in a chair. It's just out on the side of the road. You can buy a plank or you can buy the whole bundle, I suppose. But he's there piecemealing that out one at a time. Now, there's a culture picture that's a little different. Any of you tied any hogs on the back of a motorbike lately? Those are hog-tied, I assure you. I thought they were dead. We're in a van going by, and one of the old hogs blinked his eye at me as I looked out at him. But that's two hogs, one turned one way and one the other, and I suppose they're taking them to market. And that's plantain. I noticed Walmart's beginning to pick up and sell plantain. And there's how they move their cattle. Boy, it'd be dangerous out on I-44 the way we were coming down today. But they just move them from one grass patch to another. And I assure you, those cows eat the grass pretty clean when they get to where they're going. Over on the left is Prince Atuin. He's the director of the school. And brethren, normally, like Costa Rica, I leave Thursday going to Costa Rica, and we go down and find a director and brethren to work with that director in teaching men, to train them to be preachers and teachers of the gospel. Prince came to our office all the way from Cameroon wanting to talk to us about starting a school. Someone had told him about us. Brother Mark Barker, Mark standing by him there when he went over to teach some agriculture classes. And Prince came to our office last October of 2014, in view of us working with him to start a school. Now, brethren, when they'll come to you that far, you know they really want to train preachers and teachers of the gospel. That's one of his co-workers there between Mark and I. And these two men to my left in the picture are from Nigeria. And they came, I was told it took them 7 hours to rendezvous in their country. They live so far apart. They began traveling on Sunday afternoon and came together. And it took them, they had to travel overnight and almost all the next day to get to where we were in Bermuda. They were there by the time our plane landed. I stress that because they came to us to talk to us about starting a school. To each one of them. Both of them are preachers and teachers of the gospel. And the one in the green shirt let me know that he already had 20, it was either 26 or 28 young men that he wanted to train, that was ready to be trained to be preachers and teachers. And brethren, that's one of the saddest things when I have to tell them that I just have to put them on the list. They're third and fourth on the list. The one in the green will get the school first because he's already got the students, Lord willing. But we are going to Costa Rica in view of starting a school there. Then I'm going to the Amazon. We had promised those brethren up in the Amazon River Basin in Peru that we'd come up and talk to them about start. That's number two. And Nigeria will be number three and four on our list as we work our way down. I'm taking notes, and this is a classroom setting. We have 16 students taking classes. And then after Mark taught about the agriculture class, I get up and I'm teaching a seminar on the church, One Glorious Body, using the book of Ephesians. And here are our co-workers again pictured. Now there's Mark with some of our students out, and he had already taken tomato seed over and they had planted them in a bed and they sprouted. You remember these classes are designed to help the preacher be a better provider for his family. Now they're ready to transplant those little tomato plants. And there's the beds. They've already mulched them and got compost as fertilizer under them. And they're going to set those out and begin them to grow. And Mark does an excellent. He's from the city of Jasper, Alabama. And does a great job. There's some of the students pictured there. We got those together to take a picture. There's the last day, I believe, when I was there closing out the book of Ephesians. It's good to be in the home of brethren in these countries and be able to bounce things off of each other. Did you know that's how we grow as a Christian? When the church comes together, each one is to have studied and share that study in a class setting, and that's how we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We visited a church that's supplying two or three students there among the 16 students being trained. Always good to go and eat the fruit. I don't eat much meat when I go into these countries. I kid brethren and tell them that I don't eat much meat when I don't see many dogs running around on the street, so I'm a little leery. Mark had the privilege of visiting with a congregation that had never experienced a visitor from America or a missionary coming into them, and he was really excited over that. I preached for the church where the school is meeting, and I'll share one thing. You know, when you go to these countries, you have things that just jump out that you never forget. I'm talking to some of the brethren early before services, and a little family comes in, and they've got a little one. He's a little boy, about, I suppose, he is 2, 3, maybe 4 years of age. And I noticed he is hiding behind his mom's dress, her coattail, as we'd say, you know. And he'd peep out at me a little bit, And if I started to him, he'd run to his daddy and get behind and wrap around his leg and look at me. And come to find out I was the first white man that he had ever seen. And I thought I was making a face at him there for a while, or he was scared of how I looked. But his first white man that he had ever been around. Here's Mark. He knew how to relate to the little ones. We're on our way back to the airport, and we pass thousands of Cameroon troops walking and exercising to get in shape. I suppose I counted on one time 150, and they were on both sides of the road. There was a company of at least 300, go about a mile, and here's another. Remember, that's an 8-hour car drive back to the airport, and thousands of them. Now, I put this in because we're starting our graduations. We had 8 graduations. We had one in Minsk. We had one in Nipopetrovsk. We had one in Tapachula, Mexico. We had one in Oxaquina, Guatemala. And we had one or two in Liberia. And then we had one, two was planned in Sierra Leone. But the government asked us not to do that. And we'll talk about that at the end. Our first one was in February of last year. And I traveled over for the one in Monrovia. And we graduated 16 preachers and teachers in the school there in Monrovia. And have I told you the history of Liberia and Monrovia? That slaves freed from Florida and Georgia that were sent back because they wanted to go under the presidency of James Monroe, the president. And they named their capital where they landed, Monrovia, after James Monroe, the president, and called their country Liberia because they had been liberated. Now, brethren, let me hasten to say those brethren and their countrymen have a love for America. I wish to the Lord that our citizens in America loved America the way they did. They do. They really respect America, have high esteem and speak well. They have a flag, red, white, and blue, with one star. They never want to break their heritage from America. But we had a good time there, and here's a congregation of about 400 brethren that comes together on a given Sunday. There's an aisle there by the end of those chairs where those students are sitting, and they honored those students that are graduating. And after closing prayer, we had our worship service, the Lord's Supper, closing prayer. And then those students got up and went out the double door there where the young lady is standing. And Lassies, the director of the school, went out with them. I didn't know what they were doing, but he took them around to the end of the building, an auditorium. And they came walking in as brethren were singing, "We're Marching to Zion." I sit there looking at them from the podium. And brethren, my thoughts came back to the States. Of all the brethren who had helped in training those men, to all, you'd have been so proud to see them. And they'll never, folks in the States who helped train them probably will never hear them preach a single lesson. I'm always amazed at how God works through the church, His family. You've helped train people in Mexico that you'll never hear preach a single lesson. Yet God knows what you've done through your prayers and financial support. Brother Paul Morris, chairman of the board, spoke, gave words of encouragement for them to keep preaching and teaching and reaching the lost till the Lord comes or He takes them to a better place. That's a lassies with a microphone calling their names out. They come across the podium. Brother Morris gave them their diploma. They come over, and I give them a book of questions and answers by Brother Cecil May. Cecil has a good book for a young man just starting out preaching and teaching, and it will help him so much and help them as they work with brethren. There's Paul, Onesimus, and one of the teachers who helped train them. We had a dinner in honor of those students. You know, the schools that where we train preachers and teachers are dependent, and this is the way it should be, upon the quality of student that we train. Those 16 students will go out preaching and teaching. And I interviewed 14 of the 16 students. One of the students couldn't even receive his diploma because he worked for the Chinese embassy. And the Chinese embassy had sent him over to northern Nigeria because of the Islam uprising. He wasn't even able to attend the dinner the day before or the graduation. One brother had death in his family, and he didn't get out to the dinner, but he did graduate the next day. But I interviewed personally, and I asked him five questions. I asked him, number one, and I asked him individually as I interviewed him, are you preaching and teaching regularly? And what I got him to see, are you preaching every first day of the week? Would you like to guess how many out of 14 are preaching and teaching every Lord's Day? 14 out of 14. I attribute that to not paying them to come to school. They were there because they wanted to be there. And that's the fruits of men wanting to proclaim the good news of Christ. The second question, were they instrumental in helping establish a congregation while they've been attending school? 13 out of 14 responded yes, that they had been directly involved in establishing a congregation. And many of them were preaching for the congregation in which they had established. The third question, how many conversions, how many baptisms have you had in the last year? Remember, I was there in late February, and they had had 100, I believe it was 198 conversions and baptisms of seeing sinners baptized into a relationship to Jesus. How many restorations and prayer requests? It was over 200. 203 or 204 prayer requests and restorations. And then finally, I asked them to give me a number, not of the highest number or the lowest, but the average attendance of who they were preaching and teaching on a given Lord's Day. And it came to over 2,200 brethren and visitors. No doubt among that, some were visitors. But over 2,200 people, those 14 students, were preaching to on a given Lord's Day. Here's a scene of the dinner that we always let them invite their spouse if they're married, or their mom and dad if they're single. And now we're coming to the Ukraine, Dnipropetrovsk. We had a graduation. In this graduation, we graduated those students about a month after the war had started. And those are the six students, four young ladies and two young men, I believe. Maybe three and three. It's hard for me to tell there. But they didn't want to. We tried to get them to go out to a restaurant and let us pay the bill for them to have a good dinner and let them know we really appreciated it. But they chose to stay in-house. I take it that probably because of the war is what in it going on, they were a little afraid to get out into the public too much, and I don't blame them. There's a little lady graduating. She's graduating with her AA diploma. Anyone like to guess how old that little lady is? I was told she was 72 years of age. And she was very thankful. Our third graduation was in the country of Sierra Leone. One of the elders from the Ross Road Church traveled over, and he serves on the board of directors. And he was there with them for the graduation in Bo. There's our two directors of the school. The one on the right is Jacob Cissé. And Jacob is the director of the school in Freetown, Sierra Leone. And then Mike Amara on the left. And you can tell the graduations where Mike is the director because of the way he's dressed. they take those students and they march them through the city before the graduation. They are very proud and they just really go all out when students are graduating. And that was good. There's no paved roads in Bo, a city of about 300 to 350,000 people. I believe it was either 19, 20, or 21 students. I forget just the exact number that's graduating. That's Mike Amara, the director, and his staff who trained those preachers and teachers. There's another view of them. And now we're coming to Liberia. Remember, our first graduation was in Monrovia, but this one is in Gorbli. And this is where we had to change the computer classes to two agricultural classes. It's out in the bush, and about a four-hour drive from Monrovia to Buchanan, and then another hour and a half from Buchanan out to Gorbli. Because of having to go back from Gorbli to Buchanan to find a motel, and while I'm on that, let me thank the elders. I understand they've got us a room down at the La Quinta, or La Quinta, whatever how you pronounce that, and we're thankful and gracious for that. But in Liberia, you'd have to travel back an hour and a half just to pillow your head at night because there are no motels or anything in Gorbli. And because of that, we're building a building to house not only people from the States who go over, but to house our director of the school on a weekend when he goes down and works with the school. I was in construction for about 20 years. Do we have any folks here in the construction field? Raise your hand if any men in the construction field. Do I see? No, I don't even see. I don't see a hand, not one. You're too close to the city, I suppose. But I was in construction for about 20 years. Back then, they called them job superintendents. Now they call them project managers. Funny how things change, doesn't it, even in our culture and time. Never did I take the prints from the home office and go out to the project site with a crew of men and begin to build the roof and framing for the roof and finish the roof before we ever put the foundation in. But that's their culture. That roof is finished. That's the truss or framing for the roof where they got the little sign up, the Liberia Rural Bible School. And the tin, the roof is finished. And now you'll see that they make their brick one at a time. You know, I tried to figure out why would they want to build that roof first? Well, they mow their brick one at a time. They lay them out, and the Lord has to dry them in the sun. You see, we don't dry brick like that. We dry them by the bundle, probably a 500 to 1,000 in a bundle at one time. And we bake them. And because of that, those things might just melt if they had a lot of water pouring on them. That may be a reason. I don't know that. But there is the foundation, the floor, and the brick are laid, the temporary framing comes out. They too march their students in Gorbli through the streets before graduation. And that's Brother Samuel Thompson. Samuel's from the Ross Road Church in Memphis. And he really enjoyed it. He got caught in the country of Liberia when they closed the borders. It took him about 3 or 4 days when he gets back to the airport in order to get out. He presented the diplomas, and now we're coming down to Mexico, and this is where you help. And brethren, let me encourage you. I understood when you had a team to go to Haiti, young people, I'd encourage at least two to travel to Mexico sometime and to work maybe a graduation and teach a seminar or something afterward. Brother John Gibbs from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, along with Brother Jerry Taylor, traveled down. And they took that picture with that banana tree. Takes about 8 months for a tree to grow a stalk, and then they'll cut it down. Brother Gibbs and Brother Jerry spoke, and now they're passing out the diplomas. They graduated 8 students in Tapachula. And then we had one student to come from San Cristobal. That young man in the suit there by Jerry is a doctor. He wanted to go ahead and graduate because of the brevity of his time. And David, our director there in San Cristobal, brought he and his mom and dad over. There's Jerry baptizing a young man into a relationship with Jesus. That's little relics there of the Aztec Indians with protection over them. And Jerry and Brother John Gibbs just crossed the border into Aquaquina, Guatemala, and took care of the graduation there. We had 10 in Guatemala to graduate. And there's John and Jerry, and that little lady they're singing with. That's a hymn book. She speaks English. And she was born, I was told, in Ohio. Her mom and dad are from Guatemala. And she's wanting to be a doctor. Now we're going to Minsk, Belarus. And Brother Tommy Gaither, there in the lavender shirt from the Walnut Street Church in Texarkana, Arkansas. This made Tommy's 29th trip into Belarus. And he's done a lot of mission work. And we're thankful that he went over and spoke to them. We're proud of that young man standing in front of Tommy to the extreme right. Vladimir is one of our former graduates. He was in the first graduating class back in 2000. It was either 2004 or 2005. And he's also an elder in the Lord's Church there in Minsk. And he's our director of the school. And he does an excellent, excellent work. That's a secretary by him. The next 6 are students. And then the 2 on our extreme left are teachers. One's an interpreter and teaches English. And the other one is a Bible teacher. And there's Tommy along with Vladimir and some of those that he works with. I put this picture on because this is just a few of the students that we trained and graduated in our first graduating class in Freetown, Sierra Leone. We were scheduled to graduate 23 students last fall. The last Sunday or Saturday, I forget when it was planned, either on Saturday evening or Sunday after services. And the government asked us to postpone that graduation. When you get that many people and that many wives and children and mums and dads together, that was too many people. They were afraid that would ignite and help spread the Ebola. We honored their request. We just had the graduation the end of April. And Brother Samuel Thompson, the one that got trapped in Gorbli, Liberia, took him days to get out of the airport. He had the nerve and the courage to go back into that setting in Sierra Leone, and he was there with a graduation. And I want to close the report. He interviewed 23 of the 25 students that graduated. And I'm going to leave this with Joe, and he can make copies if you'd like. I figured it up the best I could figure. Out of those 5 questions that were asked, how many out of those 23 interviewed were preaching and teaching? 22 out of 23 were preaching and teaching every Lord's Day. Between them, they had started and established 7 new congregations, and they had baptized 469 souls into Christ in the last 12 months. And they had restorations and prayer requests of 230, and they preached for a total aggregate of over 1,900 souls on a given Lord's Day. If you have any questions, you feel free to come to me. My wife's with me. She can answer just about anything that I can. I'll be honest with you. And I'm thankful. The Lord's blessed me in many, many ways. More than likely, under the sound of my voice this evening, I'm going to leave this right here, Joe, for you. more than likely, under the sound of my voice, there's someone here who's not in a relationship to Jesus. Gospel simple. And I assure you, the Lord loves you because He is willing to die for you. It's sad when people go through life and live a life for self and never realize the love of God that passes all understanding. God loves you. God loves you enough that He sent His Son, born through the Virgin Mary, to go to the cross and take your place. Take your place and my place to where we can have a relationship to God this evening. You remember in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egyptian bondage, the death angel was going to touch the firstborn of every family. And the Israelite nation were told to hyssop the jamb and lintels of the door, and when the death angel saw the blood, it would pass over them. That's a pre-picture of what happens this evening to a faithful child of God and his relationship to Jesus and to our Father, God the Father. Remember, when I see the blood, He has to see us through the blood of Jesus in order to pass over our sins. Because when He sees us through the blood of Jesus, He sees a Christian as though he had never committed a sin. Those sins, before we obey the gospel, He never brings back up. And He keeps our sins. I appreciated the brother in his prayer because he talked about us being sinners who need forgiveness of God and the love of God that passes all understanding. And that's what John is talking about in 1 John 1:7. When he says, "For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of his Son Jesus," listen to this Greek word ending in E-T-H, it means continually acting. When you're raised with Christ, thank God for the daily cleansing that God offers us through His Son Jesus. We wouldn't stand a chance of making it if it's not that way. You'd have to be like Jesus on the cross if it's any other way. So tonight, you're living below your privilege if you're here and you're not in a relationship to Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And He can wash your sins white as snow, to where when God sees you, He sees you through the blood and sees you as though you'd never sinned. And it makes no difference what sin it might be. The blood of Jesus can cleanse it. Jesus gave the Great Commission right prior. You notice the verse of Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Luke 24. All of those apostles and prophets writing by inspiration the gospel accounts record that 40-day window and the Lord giving the disciples, the apostles, the Great Commission. And when we look at the Great Commission from each one of them, it's to begin in Jerusalem. The gospel is to be preached. And it's to bring forth repentance and baptism to where we can enter into the family of God and be forgiven of sins. To bury the old man and raise up. You see, when I obey from the heart, that form of doctrine, that's the death, burial, and resurrection, then I'm made free from sin. No one will ever ask you to join a church. The Lord just adds you to the number of the saved people, which is the church. And thank God you have a family of those people here at sunset. So tonight we sing a song of encouragement. Where's a young man going to lead us? Come and lead us in the song. come and take anyone